This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
How you doing, sir? Good evening.
Good evening.
Would you like to say your full name to the audience that way, please?
Eugene Leroux.
Leroux. So today I will be interviewing you about things that happened in the past. I will ask you some questions about the neighborhood that you've been living in. What are some things that have changed and things that you have you noticed that have happened in the past? So I want to start it off with you telling us like a little bit about the background, what you noticed about what has changed in the neighborhood and like some difference that you have seen.
All right. When I grew up, we had three movie theaters with the Lowy's, RKO, and a small independent theater. And the audience changed for movies and they went out of business. The other thing that happened during the summertime, we used to be able to go to an amusement park that was the site of the black players, the stadium. And that was there, but that was torn down and the projects went up. That was the first major change. It went up in the early 50s. That's right by the subway at Dyckman.
Oh, that's really nice to hear.
Yeah.
So the first question that I have for you is, why did the resident of this neighborhood decided to leave the society? So like back then, people that used to live here, why did they decide to leave?
I think they decided to leave because the co-ops that were the big developments that were happening in Queens, a lot of Irish left.
Oh, so
yeah. So and they got better jobs as firemen or policemen, and they left.
So they decided to move on.
They moved on to Queens.
All right, that sounds interesting. So what was like the journey to New York City like? What was it in New York City?
Well, my parents came from. They left because economic and political reasons. My mother grew up in the Irish Civil War, the uprising that was put down by the English, and there was constant terror between different groups in English. So she came here. My father's parents came from Canada, from Montreal, but there was economic hardship, and that's why he came to New York looking for work.
So basically a better life, a better future?
A better future, yes.
Better future. Right, that's on. Pretty nice, Eugene. So the next question that I would like to ask you today would be, how were they received open arriving the neighborhood specifically, and how, like, in the United States more generally?
Well, they came here after World War II, and this neighborhood was all Irish, and 99% Irish. And they came my mother came as a result of chain migration. She had 9 brothers and 2 sisters. They came, and the whole neighborhood was Irish. The Good Shepherd Parish was Irish. And so we came into the neighborhood, we fit in at that point. At that point also, the country was doing very well after World War II. So we had a good foundation, a good living. And we had a new school built by the Archdiocese of New York, LA Queen of Martyrs. I transferred from public school to parochial school. And it was a good place to live with parks and playgrounds and everything.
So it was actually like a good area to
be. It was a very calm area, very calm.
All right. How has the, like the reshape, like basically how things had changed in the neighborhood and how they basically feel about it, or what they felt about it, how things were changing?
Well, when I was a kid, we had different places you could go. You could go down to the river, and it was a ferry from Dyckman Street to Alpine, Jersey. So you could go over there for picnics, for hiking. There was also a small plane strip where you could take a sightseeing plane, and we had Inwood Hill Park where you could go to play. Once the projects were built and I was in high school at that point and going to college, the Irish started moving out because of the new developments throughout Brooklyn and Queens. And I noticed at that point there was a radical shift in the neighborhood. For the first time, you saw black people.
For the first time? And what year was that at?
I don't remember. But I remember one particular incident that gave me a personal experience. I was swimming in George Washington High School pool. I never knew how to swim. And a group of Irish thugs threw me in deep water.
Wow.
And the next thing I heard, I was drowning, was a man's voice. And he's like, "You in trouble, man?" I said, "Yes." He dove in and pulled me out. It was a black man. So I was the first black person I had experience with. So when everything came along, I could not understand. My father's attitude was the old-fashioned. White people did not like black people because I had my life was saved by a black man.
So
I never forgot that.
So you will never forget that. So, like, with things that are going now on, like with the racist thing, like people, white people not liking black people, or either black people hating their own people, like hating on black people. You was able to experience something like something really good for you. Not even that he saved your life, but you could see like how kind other people could be. And it's not like how people out there make a scene like if they were bad people and like they only do bad stuff. That was actually something good that you was able to see.
Yes, it was, because I saw that as a human being. I don't remember, the only thing I remember, it was a black man that saved my life. And the people who threw me in were white. So my attitude, my father couldn't understand my enthusiasm for civil rights, Martin Luther King, and what was going on. But my attitudes were shaped by my experience.
In general, how has the neighborhood changed? Like, since your parents are right here, like, to the neighborhood, what was the big thing that changed, like, after their arrival? Like, since their arrival? How have they seen the change, and what change have occurred?
Well, the big thing was the introduction of the Dyckman projects that changed the racial makeup of the neighborhood. It made no difference to me, but I think at the same time it was the development of Brooklyn and Queens, so a lot of white people, the Irish moved out, and then I think somebody intervened in the Dominican Republic, and the Dominican immigrants started coming from the Dominican Republic, and the neighborhood had more and more of a Spanish and kept going that way. So this is like little Santo Domingo.
Little Santo Domingo. So nowadays, they call it Little DR. It initially came over the past day. Now it's like Little DR. That's what they call it. But in general, like, has the recession of in the neighborhood and in the United States more generally changed over time?
I think the Dominicans made this a different neighborhood. Culturally, everything. The only thing that we didn't have when I grew up was a situation with the drugs and the drug dealers and the violence. And that's the only thing I lament now, because we're not so bad where I live, but other areas are more dangerous in this neighborhood.
Yeah, so it has changed, basically. Yeah. What does their experience tell us about New York City and the United States?
I think it tells you a lot, because we are a nation of immigrants. I never forget what John Eisenhower said. He was the son of President Eisenhower. He was in, I think, Arizona, Nevada. And he said, "I don't understand why people have this attitude," he said, "because one-third of the United States was stolen from Mexico. Seven or eight states used to be part of Mexico, and the President Polk provoked an attack to use as a justification for taking half of Mexico away." So, and also we came and took it away from the Indians.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't see, like when they basically took over most of the part of land that the Indian people had, and basically Mexico, people don't see it that way nowadays. Like, they will talk about it, know that they did it, but it to them, it's not like a huge impact, basically. Because nowadays, with the new precedent that we got, the new laws and stuff that are coming up, people don't see how we took a big percent of land from Mexico. And they don't see it that way. Because you see how we're going now with immigration and basically Trump trying to build the wall, basically, in the border. Just so they buy Mexican with the United States.
Well, most people don't know the Great Migration that occurred after World War II was caused by the lynching of thousands of black human beings in the South. And most people are ignorant of American history. And I think there's an element of our society that is afraid of change, and that's throughout the whole world. Before I read in the paper the other day that some people think that you may become black in 100 years, 3 out of every 5 human beings will be black because the African birth rate is 5 to 10 children. And all of these areas, the people are dying off and things are changing. I welcome that change.
You welcome that change. To move on to something more specific, and that has to do more with our nation, basically the United States, and the country, basically. What have been, or have you experienced, or basically saw any violence, conflict, natural disaster, or political turn that has happened, that has caused like a big impact in the society or country, and that has made different changes nowadays?
Well, I think that the export of American jobs, the outsourcing of American jobs, has caused deep unemployment and unrest and bewilderment among the whites of the Midwest. And the dying of the coal industry, all this change has made them more receptive to Trump's playing in their insecurity and their hate. And that's, and the money they spend in the military, it should be spent on the education and the people. We train all those people who don't have any skills, who need new skills to work.
To work, basically. So it's basically,
every human being has the right to a job, housing and everything else, but the way capitalism is going now, like at our city, the rents keep going up and up and up.
So basically, you
know, and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
So that's a big point that you have made there. What do you think, Trujillo, I don't know if you, like, if in the back then or even if you know about this, what do you think Trujillo assassination basically did? Even though it happened in the Dominican Republic, but you also had some of his people, like military, getting visa to come to the United States and basically being welcome to the United States because of the things that they have did or done under the Dominican Republic as being part of his basically military and stuff like that after his assassination, Trujillo.
I think the United States invaded the Dominican Republic, and that's when the immigration came from the Dominican Republic. And more was chain migration, and they were welcome. There was open immigration policy. Now the Trump thing is a closed immigration policy.
So it has changed, basically.
It has changed radically, yes.
Radically.
What I don't know what's happening in El Salvador and Honduras that causes 7 to 10,000 people to get in a caravan, walk thousands of miles for a better life. And this is the reality of what's happening right now, that Europe faces with all the immigrants from Africa because of climate change, because of lack of food, famine, political unrest. It's a reality the world has to deal with.
So everything had come basically to a reality now.
Yeah.
Regarding to the, going back to the 1989, I don't know if you got any knowledge or has any, like you have any experience, how was it back then dealing with jobs, what's it called, violence in society? Basically, let's bring the topic up, drugs, and you know, because nowadays our communities are full of basically drug dealers and stuff like that. How was it back then?
That's when the drug dealing started in earnest, in the 80s. I think part of the problem is that drugs are illegal, and that's not the solution. This is the wrong policy. I don't know what the policy should be with drugs, but the whole mass incarceration system, and it's just wrong. And the criminal justice system is wrong with the bail, and the money should, the tax cut that was given to the rich should have been put into the schools, into intervention in the schools from the pre-kindergarten stage. So you change people's life, you give them a better base to build a life and a family. And we don't have that now. But we're gonna have to do it because everyone has to be integrated into society.
So what you believe and what you suggest in the future, basically now, is that everybody should be involved, not just a certain amount of people, certain amount of race. Because, you know, the United States basically separate people by their race. Not us, because we don't see it that way, but people on the higher level and that have powers, that they have powers, they see it in a different way. So they basically separate us by being black, Hispanic, white. It depends where you come from. So they divide us in basically different percentages to see how many you have in this community and how many you have in different state, and what basically is the background that been there before.
See, the thing is that we are all one, basically. And it's a cliche. They use race to divide people, to accumulate power and money, and to control people. Make the immigrant your foe. He takes your job, he takes your benefits. Like Trump said, that there are a lot of criminals and terrorists in that caravan. They are no criminals and they are no terrorists. And the United States has a report in the caravan, they're monitoring it. There's no one in there that's a criminal. There may be a few, but there's not hundreds and hundreds of criminals and terrorists.
That's crazy. Would you like to have some water?
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. Now going over, you see how the neighborhood look now, like, new things are coming in, new restaurant, new basically buildings are being built, being rebuilt. So basically going into gentrification, during the 80s and 90s, 2000, how was it, like, the buildings, restaurants, businesses around here, and how it has improved nowadays?
Well, one thing I forgot to say is we also had a very high concentration of Jewish people who were wealthy and fortunate enough to escape Nazi Germany. Let's say a quarter of my building was Jewish. We had Jewish neighborhoods, we had Jewish schools, Jewish synagogues. So it was a homogeneous group. And I knew everybody in my building by the first name. People were much, much more friendly. And it was a different society because we didn't have air conditioning. And we left our doors open at night, fully open. And the windows
fully open.
We didn't start locking doors until the mid-60s.
Mid-60s, yes. Basically. No, so it was serious. A long time.
Oh, yeah. You leave the door open. That was the air conditioner. You open the window on the draft and come back and forth. That's
cool.
A crime. It's really
But nowadays, things, right? Nowadays, yeah. That door got to be closed.
The other thing happening now is the city government decided this neighborhood does not belong to you. They can make money by gentrifying it. And they had just permitted major development of the area, the east of the train tracks. And
I remember when Pathmark, they used to be 207th Street, went out of business, Toll Brothers or Taconic bought it, and they said, we're not buying it for a supermarket, but buying it because we know eventually we'll own a huge block of real estate, and that's what we're all going to happen. And I think, maybe not in my lifetime, but this whole neighborhood will have tall buildings and be for the rich. For the rich.
I see, me personally, I see it that way because how things are changing, and basically, people that have been living in this neighborhood for a long time are actually getting money to move out by the landlords and stuff like that. So I basically think not only that is gentrification and that they bring in new Starbucks and companies that basically were never in the neighborhood, and restaurant that you never thought you was gonna see around here, new and stuff like that, new things coming in the hood basically, coming in now. So I basically see it as not only that it is little Dior, how people be saying it, but over time it's gonna be basically for the rich people.
Yeah, for the super rich, like in the upper middle class. Like everybody jokes, when is Trader Joe or Aldi or Whole Foods gonna open here, which I would welcome, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I know, you would welcome Whole Foods basically.
No, I'm not Whole Foods, that's the whole paycheck.
That's a whole paycheck. Oh no, my God.
I shop at Aldi, which is owned by, owns Trader Joe. And up at 231st Street, they're very, very reasonable. And they carry almost everything Trader Joe does. I forgot to say, the other change was the Jewish element. There were so many bakeries, so many delicatessens. You had bakeries every block. Like they say, the Irish, when they came in, brought a bar to every block. But every block, there was a bakery. You could get fresh bread. And it was, so when things changed, that changed too.
Look at that.
Change goes both ways.
So it goes bad and good sometimes. But actually going back to the immigrants, basically. What time that it was that immigrant was actually a huge impact to the neighborhood, to the country, and basically to the United States? When was that immigrant became a high status, basically? What was it? And in what year?
Well, immigrants built this country. When the Interpol Rapid Transit Company, that's what Trump and Steve Bannon seem to be ignorant of. When the Interpol Rapid Transit Company built the IRT, they put ads for people who could do underground construction. All over the world came here, and they were welcomed. And that's why we have Chinatown. And the Irish came, and the Italians came, and the Germans came. The Irish and the Jewish people came into New York City. The new wave, not the old wave in 1900, 1910, came because of political reasons and because of the situation. And they were welcomed. They were welcomed.
If there's anything that you want to add on to this interview?
Well, from a personal point of view, I guess the Irish displaced the Jews, and they came in, and everybody commingled. We used to go to Jewish bakeries. We used to go to Jewish butchers, and it was an integrated neighborhood. And then the Spanish came, and the black people came from different parts of New York, and it all is one big mix, like New York, like the United States. But right now, I think what's happening is that it's becoming gentrified, and the new developments will make this neighborhood a very, very rich neighborhood.
So like I was telling you at the beginning of the interview and throughout the middle, it's basically gentrification. That's what we're going on.
Right. And we have no control over that.
No, we don't.
Money rules the world.
That's the thing. It's like they say, another day, another dollar.
Yes.
That's a point that I can make right now. Was there any question that I didn't ask that I should have asked?
No, no. You covered everything.
I covered
I'm
everything.
I'm happy to. You interviewed me.
That sounds great. It was nice interviewing you and basically getting to know more things that I didn't know about this neighborhood back then. But now I'm proud that I know new things. What was it like back then because of you? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Yes.